Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to an important episode of The New World Next Week. Everything you need is at NewWorldNextWeek.com. Last week's technical difficulties were my fault, so this makes this episode 161 of The New World Next Week. And believe it or not, we are not covering the social engineering of the Trayvon tragedy or even the deaths of TV stars. We are giving you what we have been doing for the last quite a few years, and that's covering some of the most important information going on in alternative media and in open source intelligence. James, we will begin this week with an important story from storyleak.com. Russia in largest war games since the Soviet era. As reported by storyleak.com this past Sunday, July 14th, Russia's large-scale amassing of over 160,000 troops, naval ships, fighter planes, and strategic bombers have been virtually ignored by the mainstream media, with only Russian-based news services really reporting on the entire event. From the Israeli bombing of the Russian missiles to the snap drills calling upon Russian forces to enter this period of full combat readiness, it appears that only RT, Russia Today, has been analyzing the situation and looking at what's going on based on military sources. Originally being revealed by an anonymous intelligence individuals within the U.S. military and shared with CNN as reported by the Israeli National News, the revelation that Israel was behind the strike on the Russian-made missiles in Syria may be behind the reason for the combat drill, assuming the Russians found out before the general public. Unfortunately, the U.S. mainstream media is too busy covering the minor intricacies of what George Zimmerman ate for breakfast today to discuss the potential brewing of a mega conflict. And when you throw Edward Snowden into the mix of tensions between world powers, it's additional fuel on the fire amid all of the diplomatic turmoil. And with the intel leak that it was Israel who blew up Russia's missiles after they deemed them to be a threat to the country, you have a real serious key going into the ignition of world war. James, again, we will, of course, include this very important story from storyleak.com, as well as some of the supplemental information from the aforementioned CNN. As James, Russia, now in the largest war game since Soviet era, and I think for all of us, full combat readiness should be a huge red flag, James.
Absolutely. I think what's happening now with this sort of cold proxy war with Russia and the U.S. in Syria and Israel and all of these big geopolitical powers coming together in what's going on in Syria right now is the key to this. I don't think it's any coincidence that this snap drill was called just days after Israel ended up bombing Russian missiles in Syria. So absolutely, I think that's related. I think it is another further escalation in what's going on, and we have to see it as part of the bigger geopolitical puzzle that's happening right now that does include things like the Snowden melodrama. For whatever that's worth, it's another factor in all of this, and I think people have to be watching this very carefully. And I'll just throw in here something that I mentioned on RT, but I'll document a little bit more right now, is that we've seen in recent months some of these fighter jets of various U.S. allied powers basically being brought down around Syria in malfunctions of various sorts. So you had some Turkish F-16 brought down in mid-May. You had Jordanian T-67 Firefly brought down in mid-May. And then just days after this Israeli strike on Syria, you had an Israeli F-16 that went down due to engine malfunction, or so they say, and now Israel has grounded their entire F-15 and F-16 fleet. And sources inside Syria on the DL are saying that it was Syria that brought these planes down, and they're not making a big diplomatic deal about it or not announcing that because they don't want it to necessarily kick into full-scale military intervention. But there is definitely a proxy war that is happening in and around Syria right now. This is the next escalation in that, and it is extremely serious what's happening right now. And you're exactly right also that the Zimmerman and all this distraction nonsense is distracting people from what could be some of the biggest geopolitical events of our age. So I hope people are staying tuned to this and seeing what comes of it, because again, as we know, so much comes from these drills and war games and things of that sort.
Absolutely. And I think it really struck me as I was just looking at a lot of the updates a few days ago on Twitter and seeing Israel also, you know, Iran is a big problem. We need to take care of that. And it was just like, oh my God, it's summer again. Are we just, is this going to be another summer where we blink and there's another Israel instigated conflagration going on in the Middle East? So we'll brace ourselves and pray no. Another related, James, which we will include in addition to all those other notes about Syrian planes and everything else crashing and burning. An interesting one on our good friend Brock West's Asia-Pacific perspective, ap-perspective.blogspot.com. Chinese Navy powers into new waters. So it's not just Russia there. Again, there's a lot going on all around the world, and you wouldn't know it if you didn't pay attention to anything approaching the alternative media. James, as we turn to our second story this week, it's a little bit of a flashback, and it really struck me how quickly time flies, as it's now been a decade and a day as we come to you here, as doctors continue to claim cover-up over the death of weapons expert Dr. David Kelly. Doctors campaigning for a full inquest for weapons expert Dr. David Kelly claim there has been a cover-up in the case as they push for a fresh investigation on the 10th anniversary of his death. Alistair Hay, a close friend of Dr. Kelly's, insisted blood tests carried out on the scientist had kicked into touch claims that he was murdered. Dr. Kelly, who is believed to have died on July 17, 2003, or in the early hours of the following day, was found near his Oxfordshire home shortly after he was identified as the source of a BBC report about the government's dossier on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. The Hutton inquiry, which effectively superseded the work of the Oxfordshire coroner, Nicholas Gardner, found the government weapons inspector committed suicide. And James, I can't help but think, but just back a few weeks ago, of course, in the second segment of A New World Next Week episode, we went over the very recent obvious assassination of someone bringing out uncomfortable truths, James.
Exactly right. Of course, you're referring to Michael Hastings, all part of the Requiem for the Suicided series of podcasts on Corbett Report. So I will use this opportunity to blow my own horn and ask people to go back to episode 192 of my podcast, where I went over the death of Dr. David Kelly, which, of course, is absolutely just another one of these hits. I mean, when you stack up the evidence, there's really no doubt about it. So people can go back through that for more of the details on that. The real question, of course, is, and let me just take a moment to applaud these doctors for continuing to at least raise awareness of this and to continue to press on it. I'm not holding my breath for an inquest, but at any rate, I certainly hope that they are successful in achieving that. But I think it's important to take a moment to remember why it was that Kelly was a hit. And logically, it wasn't because of what he revealed about the sexed up Saddam weapons of mass destruction dossier, because the beans had already been spilled on that. The cat was already out of the bag, so there would have been no point to a hit at that point. It was almost undoubtedly due to the what he still knew and what he still hadn't talked about with regards to his work at Porton Down and the other biological facilities that he knew about and the other scientists that he was in cahoots with. For example, perhaps pertaining to the anthrax case in the U.S. in late 2001 and other such little incidents. So I will point people to an important IntelliHub article that came out last month or 2 months ago now, Porton Down's Legacy of Death, Inquest to Take Place Shortly Concerning Death of Scientist. It talks about an inquest that's about to take place into Dr. Richard Holmes's death in April of 2012. He was another Porton Down scientist who went for a walk in the woods and ended up dying. And they talk about several of the other Porton Downs connected, Dr. David Kelly connected scientists who have gone, who have died in the decade since Kelly's passing, including Vladimir Pasichnik and Dr. Wouter Basson and Dr. Larry Ford. This article breaks it down. There's several scientists who have died in mysterious circumstances since Dr. Kelly. So it's important that people understand there have been a lot of very mysterious deaths relating to these biological scientists. And that is worrying for all sorts of reasons, because, of course, these people were at the heart of biowarfare techniques in the UK, in the US, in other places, and that does not bode well for people who are worried about the possibility of a biowarfare attack.
James, and again, it just to put myself back in 2003. Again, it seems like another lifetime ago, but this is the dodgy dossier. This was the whole lead up to the Iraq War that we already knew was incorrect. Even if you believed the official story of 9/11, you knew, well, why the hell are we going to Iraq? All these things, you know, come crushing back in a way. It just, you wish it were just another innocuous page in a history book. But yeah, I can't help but being struck by it just even as I sit here. So in a way, perhaps to hopefully at least make it slightly lighter, I'll throw in one last related, James, for folks to check out. And that would be the Thom Yorke song, Harrow Down Hill, which is actually a pretty beautiful song about the death of Dr. David Kelly. Now, having said that, we will turn to our third and final story this week on The Neural next week. And again, give a huge thanks to those folks out there who are submitting stories on Twitter using hashtag New World next week. And this week, a huge thanks to G.J. Salisbury. That's at G.J. Salisbury on Twitter for this story. 2,644 died during clinical trial of drugs in 7 years in India. This from the Times of India. As many as 2,644 people, called subjects, died during the clinical trials of 475 new drugs on human beings in the last 7 years, and only 17 of those medicines were approved for marketing in India. Responding to these allegations that Indians were used as guinea pigs by foreign pharmaceutical majors for human trial of their new drugs, the Indian Union Health and Family Welfare Ministry said of the 57,000+ enrolled subjects, 39,000+ completed those clinical trials, saying, quote, serious adverse events of deaths during the clinical trials during the said period were 2,644, out of which 80 deaths were found to be attributable to the clinical trials, so says the health secretary in an affidavit on behalf of the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. James, as if that weren't enough, an even more recent story. Also in India, 20 children die after eating a free school lunch tainted with insecticide. James, I find in a way we probably close a lot of our New World Next Week episodes with foodworldorder.com related stories. And this is a dire one, but we will find a way to flip it to the positive before we close out this episode. But James, this is just another example of again, these foreign pharmaceutical corporations either knowingly dumping their tainted drugs on the foreign market or just using those folks as cattle, as guinea pigs. Pick your sacrificial lamb or name that you want. It's just another case, and it goes on. And I can't help but think that so many things go down in India, and it makes me sad, to say the very least, James.
Very true. And of course, India has been a target for the depopulationists for generations, ever since John D. Rockefeller III at the Population Council was writing about how his trip there reminded him of just how many teeming hordes of the massive population, sickly poor people there are in the world, and how much he wants to get rid of them. So unfortunately, we have seen a lot of eugenicist policies directed there. And so this 2,644 deaths in the last 7 years is, of course, tragic and, you know, obviously nothing to be happy about. But at the very least, if they were in clinical trials in which the people were fully informed of the risks and chose to take them, then you could make an argument for, well, then that's sort of the price one pays for taking these risks. I'm sure there's a lot more to it, including exploitation of people who are in dire circumstances. But let's put that number in perspective, because that's 2,644 people dead over 7 years, whereas in the United States, 783,936 people per year die from medical mistakes, 106,000 of which are related to prescription drugs and the use of prescription drugs that are fully approved and fully marketed and used and come with that FDA, USDA certified seal. So let's put that in perspective. And as a Natural News notes, you are 16,400% more likely to be killed by prescription drugs than by terrorists. So let's keep the real enemies in mind and what's really going on, not just in clinical trials, but what's already been approved for use by the medical mafia and their cohorts in big government.
I thank you for that. I thank you, as always, for the perspective. As promised, the positive note that we'll try and spin this out of, and again, you can use hashtag Food World Order and hashtag Neural Next Week to submit these stories, and we're always open and excited to get new information from folks all around the world, because, of course, we can't keep up with all of it. The couple of positive notes posted to my own foodworldorder.com and also on Twitter: Japan stops the HPV vaccines citing adverse effects. And also, there is the Monsanto video revolt as the global anti-GMO online rally launches. Of course, launched off the success of the worldwide May 25th marches against Monsanto. So, James, again, just as you would never submit yourself to a clinical trial, you should also not submit yourself to the HPV or the genetically modified monstrosities, James.
Absolutely right. And as we always bring it back to, it is about personal choice and what we choose to do with our bodies while we still have the freedom to do that. So let's keep it on that positive note and remind people that there are things that they can do to take the matters into their own hand. There are solutions. But before we wrap it up, I just want to let people know that I'm going to be out of town with GRTV on assignment for the next couple of weeks. So next week, there will be no New World Next Week, and the week after. Also, the podcast and the subscriber newsletter and some of my other things will be suspended during that time. There may be some updates to the website, but not a lot. So consider it, I guess, a summer hiatus. It's not a vacation. It'll be a working vacation for me. But at any rate, the next couple of weeks, I'll be taking mostly off of the website.
All right. Now, having said that, James, we will bring this episode 161 of The New World Next Week to a close. And again, it is always my pleasure. It's my pleasure to do this work with you, and again, to do this work with our good friends like Brock West, who become really, I have to say, indispensable in helping me do my media monarchy work. So again, as always, it's my pleasure doing this work. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And my thanks to the listeners and their support that makes this possible. So on that note, I'll see you. We'll see everyone again back in August.
All right. Take care.